So let's go ahead and get your outline where it's in the book. Sorry, I don't know what page it is. Somebody yelled. 22. Okay. All right. So we've had time to look at God's Word together in different places. And we've talked about, first, the love of God for us in the fact that He sent us Jesus Christ to be our provision, our sacrifice for our sin. In the second session, we talked about whether all men know that we have this love, if we've lived it out as a disciple. This session, we're going to talk about living out this love in the body of Christ, our local body of Christ. All right, will you say that verse with me again? This time, John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. All right, am I living out this love? Have I lived out this love? All men shall know. Do they know? And who are those all men? Who are they? All men are those that see me in person. All men are those that see me on the screen. All men are those that I work with, that I play with, and they're those that I worship with. All right? Those are the all men. The upheaval that we've seen in our world should show a clear contrast of our lives of peace. Okay, the upheaval outside of us, there should be peace in our relationships as followers of Christ. Our responses are not the natural responses that humans have, not our own selfish, sinful responses that we are prone to have. We should be different. We must be different. Ladies, a place for us to be living out this clear contrast is in our local body, our local church, the church that you are a member of, okay, that you are part of the body. You've covenanted with them together to be a part of that. There should be an abundance of love being poured out to the brothers and sisters in Christ, an overabundance of love being given when there's any differences that arise. No doubt, we talked a little bit last night about being tested the last 13 months, and I would like for this session us to look at ourselves and the difference that we can make in our local body to live it out. I'm going to look at myself again as I speak. I want you to look at yourself. I want the girls next to you to look at themselves, right? Don't be thinking, oh yeah, I remember when so-and-so said what. No, you think about you and the last 13 months and then what's coming in front of us, what's coming when you come home, what's coming tomorrow as you go to worship. I'm trusting most of you are able to get to gather again together. And I am going to just put in a little push here because, you know, I don't know all of you to know, are you part of a local body, right? The only reason really you shouldn't be part of a local body is if you're not a believer. All right, and if you aren't a part of one, if you haven't found a church that you can say, you know what, I'm a member there. I'm going to find out how to become a member, and I'm going to commit myself. You need to become one. It's God's instructions for us to be part of that family of God because it's a place of us being united together with one purpose. It's a place of safety for you. If you don't know how to find a local body, you know, maybe you're a newer believer. Then you need to ask who you came with or ask an older woman at your table today. Say, all right, I'm struggling. I'm not sure. I've gone to a bunch of different churches. I've been watching pastors online. I'm trying to figure out how to find one. Talk to them and see how they can help you to direct you to a local church that you can be a part of. That's an important responsibility for us as believers to commit to that. All right. Let's go ahead and take a minute and pray together so we can ask God for His blessing. Father, will you please give us the opportunity to look at ourselves and see how we can grow in our love. Love for each other as sisters in Christ who are in the same body. Love for each other as we go back to our own churches to worship and to be able to be alongside of the brothers and sisters in Christ that you've given to us. Help us to see where we can love better, how we can do this so it honors you, so that the body of Christ is so different than what we see in our world. It is a beautiful, peaceful place. Will you give my words exactly what you want them to be, nothing extra, and that it's your word that is taken away from this session. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to love others in the body of Christ. So the first place we're going to start is cultivating a proper response to our spiritual leaders. And why do I start there? Well, you need to have a proper response to your spiritual leaders. I would say it's your pastor or elder that you have at your church, because God says to. All right, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 13. I'm trying to remember if I wanted you to turn there or not, but I think I've got it written out. Some of these I'm going to make you look at, all right? Yes, I am going to make you go there. Sorry, didn't write that on my notes. Turn there, whatever. Okay, turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5. Because you know what happens is some of these are like, does the Bible really say that? And it does say that, okay? But you want to see it in black and white, okay? All right. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. This is God's word. It's pretty clear. It's very clear, actually. It's quite simple. But you know, sometimes the simple and clear is where we get messed up. It's where I start to think my own thoughts. I get a little frustrated with a decision that's been made. And if you think the pastor's wife never gets frustrated at the pastor for decisions, you are sadly mistaken. Or maybe you're happily mistaken. That would be better. Go ahead and live in that la-la land. But the clear and simple is where it can happen, right? Be at peace among yourselves can be a place that we get messed up. Esteem them highly in love for their work can be a place I get messed up. Why should I cultivate that proper response to my spiritual authority? Because God said so, all right? We have a ladies' Bible study, and one of the older women in my group this year, she said, it's a couple different times we're studying 1 Corinthians, she said, I don't know why this is hard. God said it. We need to do it. And I was like, yes, yes, great. And then it was something I was struggling with, and she said, God said it. We need to do it. And I was like, you know, it's a little more frustrating when it's stepping on my toe, right? So we need to do what God says, and we need to follow his instructions. So that's why I wanted you to see, you know what, that was his word, not my interpretation. You could see it in black and white. All right, so we're supposed to be following our spiritual leaders because there's a cost to their ministry. They diligently labor. I hope you don't think your pastor only works on Sunday, right? You know, I really hope you don't think that, because he doesn't. And ministerial work is called strenuous labor. Will you go over to me with me to 2 Corinthians 11? And I'm going to read a little bit longer passage there. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 29. And this will be Paul speaking. And I'm making sure I hear all those pages stop, because this is a good one. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 29. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, and which come upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak that I am not weak? Who is offended that I am not indignant? All right, daily pressures on him as a minister of the gospel. Weariness and concern. I trust your pastor isn't being beaten. All right, we're here. But you know, my husband has gone over to teach the Chinese pastors many times, and some of them have been imprisoned and beaten, and it is a very sobering thing when my husband comes home from those trips. So I trust they're not doing that. But you know, we have friends in Canada that have been imprisoned because of restrictions about worship. And that is a sad thing of what we're seeing in our day. So those are pressures from outside, right? Daily pressures. But then there are those are the horizontal things, right? Those are the intense labor. He has intense labor of studying. And I have better understanding to speak this many times of the intense labor for my husband, right? It's hard work. It's mental work. Maybe you are a speaker or you do different things. Maybe you're a teacher. I guess teachers would go through this too. But there's a lot of long hours studying to communicate accurately. It's not like the long hours of a mom taking care of toddlers. It's a different struggle and pressure, but it's still heavy work, all right? Mental labor is still labor. But there's also that vertical labor. All right, there's an internal concern for the spiritual well-being of the sheep that have been entrusted to your pastor. All right, he has been entrusted your soul. He will give an account. He's going to watch out for your soul, and that's a heavy weight. All right, Paul says the care of all the churches. All right, when I think about that with my husband, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? We've had people that have church planted through under our church and people we've supported. And then the members of our church. Who is weak that I am not offended and not indignant? Another translation says, who is led into sin without my intense concern? That's the kind of weight they bear. You have intense pressures. You have intense labor. But there's a pressure of waywardness of sheep and an enemy that is actively pursuing and attacking your sheep. Satan can get a foothold in lives. And I know moms here know of Satan actively trying to grasp your children. And your heart is, no, you will not, right? And I know that battle. And you have to be on guard. And he has to be on guard. Think of all the sheep under his care. I didn't expect to get that emotional there. But he's actively tempting. Satan is actively tempting people in the congregation to immorality. He's actively tempting people in the congregation to fall away. And they're fighting. And some are giving in. And this last year, with some of the isolation and challenge, you've seen people's thinking be muddled, right? Were they being strengthened by the word, or were they being strengthened by what they saw on the internet or somebody's ideas? Okay, he has that pressure and that weight of sheep that he has to corral and shepherd and train. They have the burdens of their own responsibilities, and then they have the burdens of those of the souls they're responsible for. Woo, this is really surprising me. You know, you think you prepare, and then I do have a tissue, though. All right, so I want you to go over to Hebrews 13:17 so I can wipe my eyes. All right, Hebrews 13:17. Okay, somebody stole Hebrews. There it is. Okay. That's kind of a big one. Usually they steal Titus, but Hebrews has quite a few chapters. I usually don't lose that one. All right, Hebrews 13:17. All right, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. All right, of course it's unprofitable for him. He's frustrated, struggling through. It's unprofitable for you. All right. Obey them that have rule over you. I don't know how you feel about obeying an adult or someone else. Like, do we like to obey our government authorities right now? Really not so much, right? We struggle there. But our pastors have been put in charge of our souls, and we are to obey them that have rule over us. Okay, so there's not only that concern, there's the character. This is why we should be following after. We should be considering the character of a leader's ministry. They're leading God's people. They have charge over you in the Lord. They preside. They lead. God has chosen spiritually gifted individuals to lead his people. He's given leadership responsibilities to them. And they need to meet that challenge in the Lord. They're spiritual. They're ministerial responsibilities. They're leading God's people. They're feeding God's people. A good shepherd feeds them the word of God. He doesn't give stories. All right, I'm not saying you can't have an illustration, but he doesn't do that for the bulk of the message. It is God's word. You go away fed. You go away with maybe not only your toes stepped on, but your shins kicked, right? Because you want to go away changed by the word of God. Feeding God's people, they're giving you instruction. He's admonishing you, speaking truth to your mind. In 2 Timothy, it talks about the word of God, right? We read that earlier about it being active and sharper than a two-edged sword. That's what he's giving. We need to be reproved, rebuked, exhorted. All right, so that we can correct our wrong behaviors. We need to be corrected. Your pastor is teaching you the word of God. It's alive. Amen. It can hurt. And when he's faithfully in preaching and teaching it and gives you the right instruction, it is a gift to you from God. It is a gift to your church from God. All right, a gift, one of the gifts, and when we all think about, okay, what are my gifts? Some of the gifts he's given are pastors and teachers. And that's a gift to us. All right, we are all prone to personal and congregational susceptibility to error due to divisions that come from within and from without. And without, these last few years, this last year has been easy to be prone to susceptibility of error. All right, will you go over to Acts? Again, we're going to look at this one, Acts 20. I don't mean to make this a sword drill day, but, you know. I wondered now with, you know, all the phones and things like that, if they even do sword drills in, like, junior church or anything. Because, you know, most kids now come in with a phone. I'm like, don't give your phone, kid a phone. Give them a Bible. And my husband's like, that is the Bible. And then we have a debate, you know. All right, Acts 20. And we're going to look at verse 28 to 30. All right, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Sin has a tendency to callous our conscience. It has a tendency to deceive us. Can you think of a time where maybe you were calloused? I can think of many. Can you think of a time where you were deceived? It happens so easily. When your pastor teaches the truth boldly, do you see that as a gift from God? Do you see it as God's kindness that he's given us pastors and teachers to lead us, to be the ones that give us the truth? Satan would love to disrupt your body, your local body, your believers, your church. I don't know if you're used to hearing that word body, but the body of believers that you belong to, your church body. It's easy to see doctrinal error after somebody is already gone off the deep end, right? When that woman that you've enjoyed listening to her podcast, read her Bible studies, done all the things, all of a sudden now she's the keynote speaker and preaching on Sunday mornings, then you're like, oh, well, maybe she isn't right, okay? And your pastor had warned about that, but, you know, you liked her. She gave great illustrations, and she was funny. Oh, it's great when they're funny. You know, and we like that, but it's easy to see doctrinal error after it's gone off the deep end. It's harder to see it up front. And pastors have prayed for your churches. They have prayed for your soul. They have prayed over you and want to keep you from error. And so they might be the one that sees some error coming before you see it. So can you think about that the next time you have this great idea, okay, of what might be the next best ladies thing at the church? Or why aren't we having this speaker in? He's so good, right? I've watched him on YouTube, right? All right, a good faithful shepherd is going to say that maybe your choice or your, you know what, I'm just a little concerned about some things I've seen there. We have to be on guard. And you need to respect that and realize he's shepherding my soul. He's just not grouchy, okay? He's just not stodgy. All right, he's just not too, you know, oh, my word, he's got to have everything all buttoned up and make it perfect, right? No, that's not what he's watching for your soul. All right, what should be the proper response to our spiritual leaders? We should appreciate them. All right, 1 Corinthians 16:18 says that people refreshed Paul's spirit. Philippians 2:29 said to hold men like him in high regard. Paul sent Epaphroditus to them, and Paul said to them, hold men like him in high regard. That's how we're to be thinking, in high regard for them. We are to have an affectionate regard, esteem them very highly in love. All right, so you think about that. Okay, how do I esteem them highly in love? You know, depending on your pastor and how you connect with them, it's to have an affectionate incline toward them. Not emotional, not, oh, he's the best, you know. And please don't, you know, sometimes the people that love you the best are the ones that then turn around and kick you. All right? Don't be that way. Be the one that esteem them highly. And I love that because esteem gives a different idea than that, like, yay, yay, he's the best, right? Esteem is like a deep respect. It's an understanding of his work and the fact that he cares for your soul. All right, very highly, not over the top. It's, I guess over the top, but not the warm, fuzzy love, okay? An open heart toward them. Does that make sense? An open heart toward seeing their best benefit, of being the kind of person that supports and encourages. Hebrews 13:17, when we read that, it said, obey them that have rule over you, and let them do this with joy and not with grief, because that would be unprofitable for you. Is your pastor joy-filled? Okay, I hope he is. Is he joy-filled when he puts his head on his pillow at night? When everything's, you know, it's not in the moment where he has to be greeting people and talk. Is he joy-filled then? Or is it possible that maybe some of his joy is stolen because of sheep that are fighting, sheep that are wayward and they're not responding to his appeals to come back to the Lord, to obey? Give them the benefit of the doubt as you would to a good best friend, right? If they say something that you're not, then you ask a clarifying question. You don't immediately get critical and judgmental. Look out for their best interests. Now, giving the proper kind of legitimate respect and esteem is important. Why? Because of their work. It's not personality driven. It's not because you like him the best and he's the best one, but it's because of their work for the Lord. Okay, if I went to see a mechanic or a doctor, I'm not looking for someone who will ask about my day and check in and see if they've, you know, how my kids are and all these things. Now, maybe they do that. I don't know. But honestly, I want someone who can diagnose the problem I have, right? Is it a doctor? I want him to look at my physical test results, x-rays, and say, here's what you need. And it's going to hurt a little to fix this, but here's what you need. All right, if I have a mechanic, I want him to look at the car, to diagnose the problem, and then say, this is going to hurt a little too, because it's going to cost you this much money. You know, and then I go, all right. I'm not saying they should be a grouch or somebody who has no personality, all right? We should be. I'm not talking to the pastors. I don't get to do that, right? I kind of get to do one, but anyway. But anyway, I'm esteeming them. I'm doing these things because of their work. Their work is, I want to see someone who can help me spiritually to grow with. Yeah, it's great if you can have a nice time and play games with a pastor. Yeah, we love to have people in our homes, and mainly, you know, right now it's been outside. This last summer was all outside. We did a little bit when we were relieved to be able to have people. You could have two family units inside your home. But, you know, in this personality cult world, you can watch just about any big-name speaker, right? And Pastor YouTube is not your pastor, right? He has an assistant who just looks up illustrations for him, all right? He has an assistant who helps write all those books. And I'm not begrudging Pastor YouTube, but I'm just trying to make it clear to you that you shouldn't compare your pastor to Pastor YouTube, all right? Because he's not him, and he's not the one looking out for your soul, all right? You hear all those illustrations and perfect dynamic poems, but you have been entrusted elsewhere, and you've been entrusted someone who has the command to feed your soul. And that's what he's to do, to feed your soul God's word. What a blessing from God. How can I help not distract them from that important task of feeding my soul? All right, why have I talked about pastors and our responses to them? Because we need to be the kind of church members that live peacefully and show Christ's love within our spiritual family. That's a responsibility for us. We have a one another responsibility to maintain peaceful relationships. They are to be different than we see outside, different than I just might have with a coworker at work. All right? Will you turn with me again to Ephesians 4? Ephesians 4, and we are going to read 1 to 3. Ephesians 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation to which you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. All right, we have been called to live in peace. We talked a little bit last night about one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. All right, do we live in peace? True peace, genuine peace, comes through Christ. It doesn't come through my commitment, my desires, my, you know, because those fail. They fall flat. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says, we are to live in peace. If I were to go up to your pastor and I were to ask him, tell me about Susie, would he cringe on the inside but try to be nice on the outside? Would he smile and say, man, she is a faithful servant. She loves God. I think she really tries to live out what it calls us to do and live in peace with each other. I have seen her reach out in so many ways this last year that opened my eyes how to serve. Is that what your pastor would say about you? Would he even know what you do? Would he have any idea of maybe places that you serve? You know, I was working on this, of course, and studying, and I had made a commitment that I was going to, from January 1st to March 1st, I was going to listen to the entire Bible on the audio Bible. And I was trying to do it, like, you know, as I was doing other things, but not just, you know, hey, I've got the Bible playing and I'm in the basement and I can't really hear it, right? So it was with me, all right? So I was listening to it. Well, I knew I wasn't going to make my goal by March 1st. And I got to Proverbs and I'm like, I could just skip Proverbs because I read a proverb every day, you know, trying to justify, oh, getting done faster, all right? And I'm like, nope, I'm just going to do it. So what if I'm late? It doesn't matter. I want to hear the whole word of God. I just want to hear it in that order and be able to absorb it. So as Proverbs was playing, Proverbs 6 came. And Proverbs 6, 16 to 19, I mean, literally, I would often say something jumped off the page and slapped me in the face. Well, this, you know, I don't know how it jumps out of your phone. It jumped across the counter and slapped me in the face. All right? And I want to, if you would, go ahead and flip over to Proverbs 6, and then we're going to look at that for a minute, because it was a very big challenge for me, and I want us to be challenged by it. Proverbs 6. And we're going to read verses. You may have this memorized. I bet some of you do. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that are swift to running into mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. You know, I heard that. And then I went and got my notebook prayer journal that I keep for sermon notes. And I wrote down some things because, like I said, it just really hit me hard. And I wrote this prayer out. I said, Lord, thank you for the growth I've seen in my heart. I ask that you would multiply this the rest of my days. Let me be a strong encourager to all I meet, a soft place to listen to their hearts and not quickly answer back or solve their problems. You hate a proud look. Help me to be humble, contrite, never arrogant. Lord, you hate a lying tongue. Help my words to be accountable and careful above reproach. Lord, you hate hands that shed innocent blood. This is after a proud look and a lying tongue. Help me to see this serious offense. Guard my heart from ever getting frustrated with incompetence, not thinking or acting like I would. Oh, Lord, please help me to see this before I do it on the inside so it doesn't come out. Lord, you hate a heart that devises wicked plans. Help me to see this and fear you that I would never tread on the edge of a wicked plan. Lord, you hate feet that are swift to running to evil. Help me to run away from evil. Guard my mind and my heart so I don't ever come close to evil. Lord, you hate a false witness who speaks lies. Help me to own any kind of misspeech to a thing you hate. Every time my husband, I have Dave in there, but my husband talks and gives clarifying details, help me to see that you want my speech to be that careful and that accurate. Lord, you hate one that sows discord among the brethren. Oh, how much could be said of hearts that are not careful about the communication. Guard our church from this evil. Guard me. Lord, please guard and keep me. You know, I felt like as I was studying for this and really going through, thinking about how we can live out our love in the body. And when you see all those things, you know, you always get beat up when you're like, the Lord hates a lying tongue, a proud look. Okay, right, he hates those things. You kind of almost don't make it down to the end of the list. He hates people that sow discord. He hates people that will cause a division in the body. That's how serious he puts it in there. That was a strong revelation to me. You know, so obviously I was studying for this and thinking through it. And then I went back a couple days later and I wrote out another one. Lord, help me to remember that you hate a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to run to evil, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord. As I see this, I need to heed it and have it in the top of my mind and in my heart. Give me compassion on all those who are below me and giving understanding for all those above me. All right, because I can quickly judge either way, right? In my mind, it goes so fast, and you don't want to do that. Lord, you are the one who has redeemed and loved me, an unworthy sinner, proud in heart. Last year, Lord, I asked you that you would help me to work on my pride, and I found a pandemic. You revealed so much of the fighter in me. Is that what I like to call, is what I like to call a fighter contentious? Help me, Lord. I need your help. A fighter, then I went and looked it up, right? A person or an animal that fights, especially a soldier or a boxer. And then to fight, to take part in a violent struggle, right, involving the exchange of physical blows or the use of weapons. Someone who's contentious is causing or likely to cause a disagreement or argument. They're controversial. Someone who likes to argue or fight. Showing an inclination to dispute or disagree, even to engage in lawsuits. They're exhibiting an often perverse and wearisome tendency to quarrels and disputes. Lord, help me to see this and to change. You know, ladies, as I struggled through seeing some of those things before my eyes, that's why the Word of God is alive and sharp, right? And it cuts. And it cut me deep. And I don't know how you feel about some of the things I've just said, but we need to be on guard against never being the one who is contentious, never being the one who is quick to disagree, who is quick to, well, I don't like the way they've done that. Look, we've had our schedules and things changed. And I know every church has had to deal with different things. And there is no pastor who has done it perfectly. And there is no pastor who knows or thinks they've done it perfectly. My husband will refer to it as this last year of decision fatigue. All right, because you're having to make so many decisions and then navigate and try to instruct and encourage people about the decisions you're making and also shepherd them patiently and lovingly. I could never be a pastor because I would be firing off, are you a dork or what? Please get your, I mean, there is no way they'd be like, okay, she's out. There's also another reason I can't be a pastor, but I definitely don't have that patient gene. I have a little song that I taught my grandkids, and I have to throw this in because it's so cute to hear the littlest ones sing it. How do I start? Okay. Be kind and patient, be kind and sweet, be kind and patient, or grandma will beat your seat. And, you know, yeah. And they can all sing it. And, you know, I'll just start it sometimes and then they'll finish because they know grandma's about ready to do what she used to do to your daddies, okay? I'd say, all right, hands on the counter. I'm going, 1, 2, 3, 4. And now, that's why I can't hardly move the shoulder. But, you know, with all 8 of them, I probably wouldn't really line them all up, but I threaten a bit. Anyway, that is to say that I am not the patient grandma, and I'll say that to them. Remember, I'm not the patient grandma. And then, so, okay. All right. But think about that, ladies. Are you the patient one in church who is looking out for the best? You're seeing the way you can encourage. And if somebody else is struggling with something that has been decided, that you're the one that says, wow, let's pray about that, rather than, yeah, I don't like that either. Or I bet he's struggling to try and navigate this. You can say an encouraging thing to pull somebody along rather than, or you can go and ask a clarifying question rather than, what were you thinking when you did X, Y, or Z? All right? Be the kind who's an encourager. Never, ever would we be the ones who would sow discord, to divide a body, to make it a place where there's any tension, because there should be. In our local churches, peace, a clear contrast from the division we see outside of us. Workplaces, all those other places that you're interacting with people, there should be a difference between what our local churches, there should be no infighting, right? There should only be unity and the bond. There should never be a place where you walk into church and you see Sister So-and-so and you duck down the other hallway. All right, that shouldn't be. And if it is that, ask God to change your heart. Don't right now go and run to her and say, you know, I've been holding this grudge against you. She may not know you're dodging her. Okay, let's not bring up something that she doesn't know about. All right, ask God to change your heart. All right, maintain peaceful relationships within your spiritual family, because it's a one another responsibility. I'm challenging you here because we have to love well in the body. We are to live in peace. That's our responsibility. But often we get caught in sin. We forget which way peace is, and we think in our own thoughts. And that happens to me as well. But my solution to that is restored peace through God, through Jesus. He's the one who can restore our peace. He can give us the power through the Spirit, through His Word working in us. You must be right with God in order to be right with others. All right? You won't have that right relationship with others if you're not continually before Him, seeking Him. That doesn't mean you're perfect, okay? Nobody's perfect. You must be resting in God's power and promises. I can let go of these frustrations of life because I don't have to fight these battles. God will fight them, and He will win. Oh, yeah. He's in control. Yeah. I can rely on the Spirit by faith. I can have my faith strengthened as I rely on the Spirit. I can respond to others with patience and kindness and confidence because God's in control. This trial is temporary. And, you know, I'm not just talking about our pandemic, right? I'm talking about in general, things that you've dealt with in your own life or that will come in the future. The trial is never permanent. It is temporal. And it's never pointless. All right? Can you think of Joseph? Joseph had so many different things that were not right done to him, right? And we know the story. His brothers, they can't stand him. Then they throw him in a well. Then they sell him off. Then he's put to a high position. Then he's accused of a crime he didn't commit. Over, he's forgotten by the guy who's supposed to get him out of the prison. Over and over, we see that, right? And you may have some stories like that. Things that were not right that were done. But you know what? They're never pointless. We can grow through them. We can see the power of God to change lives, to change hearts. We need to always govern our words and actions by the things that make for peace. All right? Romans 14, 19. Will you flip over there with me? Romans 14. And verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things which one may edify another. All right? Is this going to bring peace? Is it going to edify someone else? Let's follow after those. If it's going to cause division or conflict, oh, wait, we need to take another path. Right? If you know when you say something, it's going to cause a division or it's going to make a statement, you know, I'm going to make a statement. All right? No. Let us, therefore, follow after the things which make for peace and the things which one may edify another. All right? Are you doing that? Go on, or we're going to push on forward. We must let the peace of Christ rule in our body. We are to pursue actions that build us up and not that tear us down. We are to pursue those things. Okay, when you pursue something, you go after it rather than you give in to what you're feeling in the moment. You're pursuing righteousness. You're pursuing the body and those you love in the body. And maybe you're pursuing the one that's a little prickly. Okay, if you know there's a prickly one in your church body, that's the one you can pursue to show them love. You know what? You might hear why they're so prickly, and it may bring you to your knees to pray for them, to love them as Jesus loved them, to show kindness. And that may be a place where then the body is more united. Because if there's a prickly person there, sometimes, you know, things can grow. And we don't want to let that grow. We want to have churches that know that they have a gift from God in their spiritual leaders. Their pastors are there to shepherd their souls. We need to esteem them highly and follow them. for they do a heavy work of shepherding your soul, giving an account for them. We need to love our sisters in Christ. And that is a place where we need to live it out so that there is never a chance where a pastor has fighting sheep. Okay, probably not fighting in church, but are you fighting online? Okay, sadly, I've heard of stories of people from the same church body that are fighting across the Facebook or internet, saying things that it's like, okay, wait a minute, would you say that to them face to face? A lot of times not, right? And then there's sadly the part where maybe you knew this person 20 years ago, and for some reason you feel like you have to answer them back about every ridiculous post they make, right? Let that not be us. Let us be the ones who show peace in the body, who show the peace of Christ. Because you know what? There are unbelievers that are watching some of those interactions we don't think are watching. There are some that are watching that are struggling in their faith. And honestly, they're going, if this is the way Christians act, why am I here? And their faith is being challenged. Don't let it be a place where any of us that are here are the ones that cause division. All right? And when you get home to your churches, you can spread that kind of encouragement. All right? You know how it is when ladies start to talk, right? Sometimes things come up. And you can be the one who is the soft place, who changes the tone of a conversation, who changes the direction of negativity into, man, I'm just so thankful for, and you find a, I don't care what it is, a pebble to be thankful for, right? You find something about the body at that moment that you can be thankful for, all right? I hope that as I've challenged you with this, you grasp the desire of your pastor to love you well. All right? If he's a good shepherd, he loves you and he cares for your soul and he wants you to do what is right. And he bears that weight and you should encourage him. Now, don't you all go home and say, Pastor, I just love you. Okay? Because he's going to go, okay, what did she say? Because I don't want it to be the emotional or the guilt one, right? I want it to be the heart change that you're like, ooh, I've got some serious thinking and studying out of these verses to do. I've got some wrestling with how I've responded in the past. And honestly, ladies, if you have been one of those frustrations to your pastor, you know, really pray about it if there is a place where you need to go back. All right? Or maybe you've been the one who's been causing a division. Then maybe you need to go to those you've caused division with and say, you know what? I really have been challenged about this. And I want you to know that I want to do right and I'm sorry for the way I responded. You know, those texts, those emails, whatever, they can fly. And we need to be careful. But I would say first, make sure you really pray about it. Because you can change going forward and do what's right by being that faithful supporter, being that faithful sister in Christ who loves the others in her body well and who does it because she loves Jesus. All right, we're going to close by sharing our verse together again. I want you to repeat it with me. I think it's there on the front of your outline. John 13, 34 and 35. Ready? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. I pray that is our hearts. Let's close in prayer. Father, will you please help us to love one another? Will you please help us to be filled with your love so we can love accurately and carefully, so we can do it with true love, not just emotional or in the moment love, with true deep love for you as our Savior who we want to follow and obey. Watch these ladies as they drive home. Protect them. Protect them as they step into their homes after being away. Help them to have fresh eyes. They're encouraged and renewed by the word. Help them not to get overwhelmed with what they face ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.